Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is
back. Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News. I'm your host, Jerome. Now, on this program, America could be hit by four major hurricanes this year. It's what it's predicting, above-average snowstorm season. Storm season in winter still. Former President Barack Obama received a rock star welcome in Berlin, and a Baltimore lawyer is charged with offering a rape victim $3,000 in hush money and threatened to deport her. And a mother is still searching for answers 4 years after her model son, 24, was found dead in the California desert. So we have those stories this week in court and much more, but I want to welcome you on to the show again. You're listening to Esprit.net News. This is our weekly news summary show. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. And if you missed any of our shows in the past and want to catch up on some news, in the words of my good friend Lucy Abreu, we always have news that you can use. You can go to espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com if you want to check out some shows in the archives. There you have it. Now, our first story, NOAA forecasters say that hurricane season from June 1st through November 30th has a 45% chance of above average normal activity and a 70% chance of seeing 11 to 17 named storms plus four major storms. So figure four major hurricanes this hurricane season. And you know, I wish it didn't go till November, you know, because I'm a September child in my travel. And that's normally hurricane season. So if you wonder why you can't get me in hurricane region around that time, this year might be a little worse because of the new forecast. All right. Now, there's a glimmer of hope for America's ailing honeybees as winter losses were the lowest in more than a decade. That's according to the U.S. survey of beekeepers. Now, beekeepers lost 33% of their colonies over the past year. That's the lowest level since 2011 and 2012, when the survey recorded less than 29% of colony loss. They said that that's better than the year before, when the annual loss rate was more than 40%. So apparently the bees are coming back, hopefully. Well, we're not losing as many. I'm not saying they're coming back, but at least that's good news on the bee front. Now, it's curtains for Ringling Brothers, as we all know. The Ringling Brothers Barnum Bailey Circus has the most, I guess, as the most famous American circus, and is their 146-year reign as the world's, what they call, the world's biggest big tops. The famed circus put on its last three shows last Sunday in Uniondale, New York, and the NASA Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And before final bow, the ringmaster Jonathan Lee Iverson led the performance, crews, and audience in an emotional rendition of Lauden Lane, Oh, gosh. Auld Lang Syne. Yeah, that's what it is. Now, the Ringling Brothers parent company, Field Entertainment, announced in January that the circus would take its final bow this year, citing the declined attendance and high operation costs as being amongst their reason for closing down. Now, I say their reason should have been because traditionally Ringling Brothers did some horrible shows, you know, with putting human or black people on display or African folks in display. And Ringling Brothers had some things in their history that they needed to atone for. They totally ignored it. And I can't say that I'm upset that they're gone. Go see Universal Soul Circus. That's just kind of my thought on that subject. All right. Nokia and Apple have settled their legal disputes after signing an agreement to work together. Now, Apple will soon resume selling Nokia devices or digital health products on their retail and online stores. So you can now see that there's a friendly relationship from Nokia and Apple. I don't know what that means, but, yeah, if you have their devices, I'm sure you'll probably be a little happier. Binge drinking has, I guess, amongst U.S. teenagers since 1998, has been cut in half, is what the new data shows. Just 2.1% of 13-year-olds frequently drank excessive amounts of alcohol between 2007 and 2015. That's down 5%. From 1991 to 1988. That's researchers report from they reported from pediatric researchers. And I don't know why that is funny to me, but they're doing a drinking survey on 13-year-olds. And if I'm not mistaken, yeah, I guess it's close to half, 2.6% opposed to 5%. Okay. Nearly 740,000 foreigners who were supposed to leave the United States during the recent 12-month period has overstayed their visas, according to Homeland Security Department. Now, again, as we talk about building a Mexican wall and people coming over illegally across the border, I think they're flying in. 740,000 people have overstayed their visas last year, just in the last 12 months. Okay. I just want to change your perspective on perception and perspective. All right. Four of the five fastest growing cities in the U.S. are found in Texas as population booms across the South, parts of the South anyway. The U.S. Census Bureau published a new statistics on Thursday detailing population changes across the country. Now, Conroe, Texas, the northern Houston suburb, added more residents as a percentage of their population last year than any other city. Now, they went up 7.8% from 2015 to 2016. Now, Conroe, again, is where the outlet mall is for me. Away from Katy in Texas. So technically when I'm in the area, that's all I know Conroe to be. But apparently there's a population boom up near the outlet mall. That's all I know. Now another city in Texas came in second with Fresno, a suburb of North Dallas, never been there, recorded a jump of 6.2%, rounding all of the, I guess, rounding of the all Texas top three was McKinley. It was another Dallas suburb with 5.9% increase. Now, South Carolina squeezed in the fourth spot with Greenville. They went up 5.8% as an increase before another Texas town came in, fifth place. It's called it's Georgetown, north of Austin. They saw a 5.5% jump. Now, overall, cities in the South continue to grow at a faster rate than any other region in the U.S., is what the demographer from the Bureau's Population Division said. Now, since 2010 census, the population of large southern cities grew by an average of 9.4%, while cities in the West grew by 7.3%. Northeast cities showed 1.8% growth, while populations of Midwestern cities grew by 3%. All right, now data also identified cities that had grown by the largest numbers. Now, this is not by percentage, but the cities that grew largest by number, not percentage of population. Number one was Phoenix, Arizona, Los Angeles, California, San Antonio, Texas, New York City has grown, Seattle, Washington, Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, Houston, Texas, Austin, Texas, and San Diego to round out the top 10. And Charlotte just missed the top 10 by 39 people. So help Charlotte out. Now, Chicago saw the largest decrease in population, with about 8,638 saying farewell to the Windy City. Baltimore was next with 6,738 leaving, followed by Milwaukee, which had more than 4,000 leaving. Detroit had more than 3,500. And rounding out that top five, St. Louis, 3,471 people left St. Louis. So there you have it in our population shift. But again, New York City, 8.5 million people. Second largest city in the country, if you don't know, is Los Angeles, and they only have about 4 million people. They still double the second largest city. Just to give you perspective, New York City, still the biggest city by far. Now, former President Barack Obama received a hero's welcome when he returned, or he reunited because he returned to Berlin, but he was visiting. He reunited with German Prime Minister Angela Merkel for the first time since leaving office, calling on the audience to engage in democracy and telling the tens of thousands of people in Berlin that we can't hide behind a wall, which is people are taking as a shot of Trump. But I don't think he took a shot. He was just saying what he thought. Now, he spoke in front of the Brandenburg Gate, which was once cut off by the Berlin Wall, and he was greeted with cries of Barack, Barack, as he urged there were 70,000 people there. They pushed back against those trends that would violate human rights or suppress democracy or restrict individual freedoms, is what the president said, and to fight against those who divide us. President Obama came to deliver a message, seemed very presidential, and his turnout was huge in the Trump kind of conversation. But, you know, it was a really interesting forum. The forum was the highlight of the nationwide series of events to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the referendum, anniversary of the reformation. I don't know what that was, but it's when the theologian Martin Luther gave birth to the Protestant Church. So they apparently celebrate this every year in Berlin, but it's the 500th anniversary of that. So they have a bunch of speakers that's coming in. All right, now more than 8 years after the Republican Joe Wilson from South Carolina memorably shouted, "You lie," at then President Barack Obama during a televised broadcast of his speech before the joint session of Congress, constituents in his hometown returned the favor of his infamous outrageous outburst. Now, during a town hall meeting or event in Graniteville, South Carolina, attendees shouted, "You lie," over chants of his support of the Trump administration and their efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Now, according to the Post and Courier, most energetic exchange occurred when Wilson, who in 2013 voted against extending the Violence Against Women Act, told the crowd that he advocated to protect women against violence, they pretty much shouted him down. You lie. So there you have it. They're coming home to roost for some of these guys, but we're going to see how this goes. If you don't know, the new CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, scored the Trump Care legislation or his proposal and found out that it would leave out 23 million people. Together, it would be 56 million people without insurance, according to their scoring. And I know this is being spun. I thought it was going to be a little higher. But apparently, I guess even though you're losing coverage and your premiums are going to be higher, they don't count that as totally a loss of coverage. You'll be able to get health care, but you won't be covered for a lot of things. But they still count that. So you're still going to have 23 million people who are currently covered, not covered, and altogether they estimate by the year 2026 that it would be closer to 56 million people. I don't know if that's an annual loss, but 56 million people will not be insured in this country. That's according to the new Trump Care proposal that's up. Now, the Trump team told a judge this week that it has no time to be deposed in a legal battle with protesters who blame him for blame Trump for him being shoved at a rally. So court documents that was obtained by the Daily Mail stated that Trump's legal team is now demanding that the suit be put on hold because it can impose a substantial burden on Trump and the society at large. Apparently, we're all going to be heartbroken if he get deposed for a case of him shouting, you know, I'll pay your legal bills. All right, fine. I'm going to move out of that. Okay, let's go to the commission. Let's go to Kathleen. I don't know why I feel like laughing at this stuff today, but this is what the world we live in. He is claiming, if his attorneys are claiming that if he gets deposed, it will be a burden on him and the society at large that he, that he get deposed. Hey, Kathleen, how are you? Sorry
I'm
to bring
good.
You in that
how
mess.
You?
I'm good. See, sometimes you just got
to. I wanted to jump in on the conversation about the president in Germany.
Yes.
I was glad that you said, several speakers were invited there. Not glad because I was glad that was the reason. Glad because I didn't know what the reason was. I was like, wow, did they call him over there because they would, you know, trying to find somebody with some reasonable sense before that other guy got there, or what was the, you know, what was going on? So thank you for saying that it's a bunch of people going.
Oh, yeah, you should see the crowd. I mean, if you remember the last time that he was there, it was tens of thousands, and so they're estimating a crowd of 70,000. It was him and the Angela Merkel who was on the podium. They were just sitting down. They didn't stand up giving speeches. He sat down on a forum and people asked questions. But they were sitting up with lawn chairs. I mean, it was a ton of people. To actually see
That's amazing.
And to see that major media here is not covering it. I know we're doing a lot of scandal stuff, but that has to be phenomenal to saying that we are losing status in the world, and President Obama is calming people down overseas. Isn't that interesting?
That's amazing. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Why isn't he calming people down here?
Because he can't. He can't change the voting outcome. We're going to have to ride this one out. This is just like a storm where they just say batten down the hatches. We're just going to ride this one out. What he told the German people is that they still have to fight for democracy, and it sometimes go on this little roller coaster, but it's arcing towards justice. And so he said, but you have to make it happen, kind of thing. So I'm paraphrasing for the former president, but it helps Angela Merkel. And the funny thing about today is that she was with President Obama earlier in the day, and then she flew to the NATO summit later. And all she changed was her jacket. So with she had on this like lime greenish color jacket. And when she went to the NATO thing, she put on this red jacket, and she did not smile in any of those pictures. It was red.
Yeah.
And they have the smiling picture of her in President Obama, and then the one that she's pretty much trying to ignore Trump. But, yeah, it was an interesting contrast. So I'm sure they'll flood those all over the Internet or social media. But it's an interesting contrast because it happened the same day. So you can't say that she had a good day one day and a bad the next. It was the same day. She's like, now I got to deal with this idiot. Like, that was kind of her. having the articulate guy there, the charismatic guy, it helps her because of her poll numbers in Germany. You know, people back away. But with President Obama there, I don't think people can draw 70. I don't know who can go to Germany and draw 70,000 people if they're not doing a concert. I don't know who can do that. But I'm pretty sure that it wouldn't be a politician.
Wow.
You know, but President Obama drew them out.
Yeah.
So.
Did the pictures look as bad as the ones with the Pope?
Yes, they're just as bad as the ones with the Pope. And the social media people, the pictures with the Pope, is that whole Adams Family theme that they have. It is hilarious. So I guess we can't be talking in code because we've seen it. So as the listeners, if you haven't seen it, the pictures that Donald Trump and his family, I would say, took with the Pope were compared to President Obama. His pictures with the Pope looked like he's smiling and laughing with President Obama. With Trump, he's just standing with his hands to the side. He really doesn't look like, the Pope doesn't look like he wants to be there. Donald Trump is smiling, but the Pope is thinking, or is looking like he's thinking, want to get away, like that commercial? Just want to go.
Yes. But not only did the Pope look like he didn't want to be there, but his wife and daughter looked like they didn't want to be there, too. They looked like, one person said, you know, are you wondering whether or not they're alive? If they're free.
Yeah.
I think that was Stephen Colbert.
Well, Melania, Trump's wife, said that she said this to the Pope, that I'm the first Catholic to be in the White House since the Kennedys, because she's Catholic.
No way she said that.
She did say that. But the Pope did say, what are you feeding him? Kind of saying that he's eating a lot of sugar and whatever, coming on Trump's weight. So the Pope, like, struck back. That had to be an interesting exchange. Yeah, he asked, what are you feeding him?
Anything.
Say it again.
Because she's not feeding him anything. She doesn't live there.
She's like, I don't know what he's eating. You know, and she did ask the Pope to bless her rosary beads for her. So, and he did.
Oh, gosh.
But I think that was a sidetrack for him just to get away from. And, you know, Trump's daughter is she's a Jewish convert. When she married her husband, she converted to Judaism. So
yeah.
I don't know how happy she was. So I'm sure the Pope was like, y'all got the bases covered.
Hell?
You got a non-believer as the president, just don't believe in Jack. Then you got the one who's saying, exactly. But then you have his wife that's saying, oh, I'm a devout Catholic, but you married this nut. And then you got his daughter who had to just bounce and who is Jewish convert. So I'm sure the Pope was just like, okay, whatever. Like, again, I can just see it in his face.
She's the first White House. She's the first Catholic to. Oh, she's the first Catholic person to be in the White House, or the first lady to be Catholic. Which one did she say?
Well, she's saying she's the first. She's the first Catholic to live in the White House since the Kennedys, because the Kennedys were Catholic. The president and
Jackie. Right, but she doesn't live there.
She's the first Catholic to stay there every now and then. See, I have a room set up there, so technically I don't live there, but she has a room.
She should have just said, "I'm the first lady. I'm the first lady to not move into the White House with my husband. Bless my bead, please."
Yeah, exactly. He'd been like, "We got a gallon of holy water that for you in the back too." They should give her some parting gifts. Here's a cross. Here's another Bible. They need to perform an exorcism on her before they left. But okay, now I'm not going to be mean today because I know that wasn't. So before I get there, the Pentagon.
Not to mention that no one on Earth knew that she was Catholic before she goes to see the Pope. Did anybody?
Nobody. It's almost like she just became Catholic yesterday. But see, since I don't know. She said, I'm going to say allegedly, that's what's been reported, that she said that to the Pope. So allegedly she said that she was Catholic. So I don't know if she's Catholic.
And why
I don't know how that played
that?
Out.
It just feels politically incorrect, but I don't know everything, so I need somebody to help me with that.
Nope. It is people who are narcissistic jerks, which mean that she's one too. Because to actually keep that in your head that she's telling the Pope, I'm the first one that's been in the White House since the Kennedys. Like, she's bragging about it. So instead of her living the life, she's like, I want to make this history known. I need to tell you something. It's like a part of Trump's 9-day trip. They're saying that in his conversations, he's still talking about the election. He didn't win by historic numbers. He beat her pretty bad, but he's no exception to the political process or the electoral system. That's no abomination kind of thing. And he's still bragging about it. So she did the same thing to the Pope.
Right.
And while we're at it, you know, while they're traveling, Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, he has been named as a person of
interest.
I would just say a person of interest, but he is definitely being investigated for this Russian probe. So this throws another this throws another log into the fire of how many people do you think is going to go to jail in this old Trump administration stuff. He is now under investigation. Anybody doubts that he's going to roll on anybody. But if there's a big fish to be, well, I can't say that he won't, because I guarantee you that rich kid don't want to go to jail. So I would think that he probably would roll on everybody. Because Trump's not going to be able to pardon him is the problem. Not if Trump is implicated, unless the next person who comes in after him pardons him. But Somebody's going to probably go to jail on this one. Or, quite a few people, I think, is going to go to jail.
Alderman Ehrlichman, Michigan Dean.
Here you go. Okay. there were some shocking images taken by an Iraqi photojournalist showing elite anti-ISIS commandos that were once advised by U.S. forces that they tortured and executed innocent prisoners. Now, these newly released images were from earlier in the year in Mosul. And then at the same time, in a separate news story, the Pentagon has admitted that airstrikes it carried out at a house in western Mosul killed at least 105 civilians, and one of the deadliest attacks anywhere in Iraq since 2003, since the invasion started to oust Saddam Hussein, their former president Saddam Hussein. The final toll can be as high as 140 people. So an investigation into the March 17th attack has found, with 36 people still unaccounted for, nearly all of those killed had been taking shelter in a house before the battle started. This is the U.S. kills another 105 civilians at least, and it could be as high as 141.
And when was this?
This happened on March 17th, that attack. But it also shows that...
March 17th, what year? 2017?
No, that was this year. It's this year.
That's what you said, 2017.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm... Again, have no words. We know that this happened in Iraq, that we're killing innocent people. We did it in Syria, and they're killing innocent people. And they say, oh, we thought somebody else was there. They're being reckless. So the innocent people that's getting killed, you're blaming that on searching for somebody else. We thought the bad guy was there. And, you know, we had the Box raid in Yemen that killed about 25 people. And we're like, oh, my bad. So we're being reckless, and we can't figure out why people don't like us as a country. That's why I'm doing the news story. Because if I skip these stories, then we'll keep saying things like, oh, we're just fighting the bad guy, the guys who are wearing black kind of thing. And we are doing damage to our reputation and credibility. So when we stop, you know, get to a point like we did during the Bush term, George W. Bush's term, where people couldn't travel safely, this is one of the reasons. When you start bombing innocent people, their kids going to grow up not liking you too. So not only are they getting bombed by terrorists, then we're supposed to be the good guys, and we're bombing them as well. So there you have it. All right, now, three new lawsuits filed Monday alleged racial discrimination or sexual harassment at Fox News. This is three more, bringing the total to 23 cases of past or present employees who are suing Fox News. Three more. Don't want to leave them out. They just keep rolling in. All right. Facebook is flooded with 54,000 cases of revenge porn and sex, I guess it's called sextortion, every month. 54,000 cases a month on Facebook is what documents leaked by the staff revealed. In January, there were 51,300 revenge porn complaints on Facebook.
What's revenge porn? What is revenge porn?
Well, it's when people film people having sex acts and then they try to get back at you by exposing it, like taking pictures of somebody or whatever. They're posting it on Facebook. So they're saying they get about 54,000 cases a month.
Oh, my God.
People just kind of extorting people by saying, hey, you broke up with me, let me post this, nude photos or actual videos or whatever. 54,000 a month on Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, Facebook is trying to ban private streaming devices, but there are still the private streaming device is Kodi. I don't know if Loki is on the line, but Loki, if you're there, you can come on the line on this one. But Facebook is trying to ban Kodi, the private streaming device, and there are still hundreds of devices available on the site. Now, if you don't know what Kodi is, they said that there are still hundreds of fully loaded Kodi boxes on Facebook Marketplace globally, meaning that they have plugins of pre-installed 4-watt pirated material. So with a Kodi box, they are perfectly legal to have, or the app if you're getting it for your tablet. They're perfectly legal, but people are it's open source, so people are actually tweaking them so that you can get pirated material, you know, movies, television, that kind of thing. But having a Kodi box, but they're saying that these devices that are on Facebook that those are already preloaded with illegal software or illegal connections to pirated material. That's all that is. So for anybody who has Kodi, we won't talk about that. But anyway, yeah, Kodi, there's a way that you can watch, movies for free. And so Facebook is trying to crack down on them. Now, a Mississippi lawmaker has apologized for saying that Louisiana leaders should be lynched for removing the Confederate monument. You know, and after his comments sparked public outrage in both states, Mississippi and Louisiana, the Republican state representative Carl Oliver hit out at the leadership of Louisiana after New Orleans moved their four monuments from you know, the era of the Confederacy. He said that if the and I use this term extremely loosely, leadership of Louisiana wishes to, in a Nazi-ist fashion, burn books or destroy historical monuments of our history, they should be lynched. That's what he wrote. I mean, that's what he said. And Oliver wrote the post on Saturday and issued an apology on Monday after it was removed. He said, in an effort to express my passion for preserving all historical monuments, I acknowledge the word lynched was wrong, and I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. It is in no way ever appropriate, an appropriate term. And but New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu, who's a Democrat, was among the officials who criticized the post. He said, now that everyone can see that Mississippi State Representative Oliver's position on the matter clearly, his message proves that our fight to tackle the issue of race head on is both right and necessary. So big shout out to the mayor of New Orleans for shooting that crazy person down. But, you know, the fight still continues as it goes.
Amen.
Now, a curator says that he's closing a Civil War museum because a black county commissioner demanded he remove all the Confederate flags. Now, the Nash Farms Battlefield Museum in Hampton, Georgia, is closing June 1st after coming to a head with the county official over the museum's display of the Confederate flags. Hey, you know, black people run for office. That's all I got to say. You want some of this stuff taken down, because his frustration is he's just going to close it. So close it. That's all I got to say for that. But this is Georgia we're talking about.
Goodness.
Yep.
Now,
all right.
I have a question. Is the Confederate flag at this museum, and I'm putting my fingers up in quotes, right? Is it like displayed outside the museum as though it's the American, next to the American flag or something, or is it a replica inside the museum showing the horrifics of the time and saying that these people did this under the Confederate flag, like a historical piece? You know what I'm saying? Because you said it's a historical museum. So I'm trying to understand that.
Well, you know, I like your inquisitiveness. I am not sure, but I'm going to say it this way, that apparently they must get funds from the city, which means that if you're getting funds, or the county, because you know how you have museums and they get, you know, whatever from. So it could be a government-owned kind of museum. He's just the curator of the museum. And the county commissioner, who's the county exec, like the county execs and county commissioners are the same. They're just county managers. And they just pretty much said they need to remove all of the flags, all of their Confederate flags. He demanded that he remove them. So apparently that museum probably was linked through county funding. And so instead of getting his funding pulled, he figured he'd just close it.
So I
think that the government had some governance over that museum. So we don't know how the flag was displayed or anything, but the point is that they weren't going to probably get funded if he didn't do what the county commissioner said. But right, I mean, again, you're flying flags, you lost. you know, that's pretty much how war goes. You lost, you don't still get to fly someone else's flag, right? That's kind of defeats the purpose. We don't fly
mm-hmm.
British flags in this piece for a reason,
mm-hmm.
or Spanish
mm-hmm.
flags in Florida, or French flags in New Orleans, right? They left. They sold it. Louisiana Purchase. They're gone. So there you go. Miss Black Texas, 2016. She claimed that she was wrongly arrested after being verbally abused and attacked by a police chief in a Walmart parking lot. Cameron Ponder. She was driving, and a North Texas police chief, Kerry Cruz, had his son, who was just learning how to drive, was swerving in and out of traffic. She went around him. They followed her to the Walmart or wherever. It was going to a Walmart. Followed her in the parking lot. Pulled up to her, and another police officer went to the woman and asked her why was she that she needed to apologize to the police chief for going around him. It was something silly like that, and she just ignored him and went in the store. When she came out, they approached her again, and she said no, she wasn't going to apologize, and they arrested her. And he called her a black B-word before being unlawfully detained and arresting her. They detained her and then arrested her.
They can arrest you for not apologizing to a white man? What year is it?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Was that the problem? She looked at it.
Well, she didn't break any laws.
She didn't hold her head down. What the heck?
Yeah, I can see a really nice lawsuit on this one.
They
followed her and then harassed her. And just because she ignored them, they are saying that she, I can't remember what the charge was, but they were just on her because she would not engage them even in conversation. They said she did not resist, and she just kind of looked at them, and they said, well, if you're not going to whatever, we can detain you. And I think she asked them why. Why would you detain me? And they said that, no, you're under arrest. But it was all because she wouldn't apologize. So you can't do that to the sheriff and not say something to him. He shouldn't have had his kid driving, for one. And two, if it was unsafe and she didn't break any rules or any laws, shouldn't even talk to her. All right. Before we ask you about that, in case you had any questions, a Baltimore lawyer is charged with offering a rape victim $3,000 in hush money and threatening to deport her under the Trump laws if she testified against his client. So the attorney has been indicted on a dozen charges, including conspiracy to obstruct justice and intimidating a victim and a witness, is what he was charged with. But he's 38, and he actually was going to give her $3,000 in hush money. I think that's unethical, but again, the charges probably says that.
I saw that sister on TV the other day. She's still the district attorney, right?
She was the U.S. attorney, right? Oh, no, she wasn't the U.S. attorney. She was a state attorney, right? They brought state charges. Yeah, I think she's still there.
Okay.
This is not
she
wasn't the county attorney.
No.
I didn't hear you. Yeah. I can't remember her name.
Yeah, I don't either right now.
Yeah. You're talking about doing the Gray case, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't. I'll have to look it up. We'll look it up and talk about our next show. Well, yeah, no. Just curious. Yeah.
Okay.
What was her name?
No, never mind.
All right.
Go ahead.
I just couldn't remember who she was. All right, now, a suicidal man who's 22 appeared in court charged with second-degree murder after he shot himself in the head and the bullet traveled through his skull and killed his girlfriend. He didn't die, But now he's arrested. He killed his 21-year-old girlfriend. He was 22. He appeared in court facing second-degree murder charges for she was 22. He was 21. And they were in their Anchorage, Alaska apartment, and he tried to commit suicide and kills his girlfriend. I know. In other bad news, a mother is still searching for answers for 4 years after her model son, who is 24, was found dead in a California desert with his heart, lungs, kidney, liver, and eyes missing. Now, again, another black child is missing and his organs are missing. Now, the heartbroken mother is still searching for answers, and her son was Ryan Singleton. He was found dead in the California desert. You know, I remember this case where the guy who got wrapped in a mat at a school was missing his organs, and they said that he accidentally fell in there and must have smothered himself, but his organs ended up missing. Here we go with another one of those cases. Now, and I usually kind of skip the gross news, but, you know, just kind of had to still say it for what it is because we need to know that's going on. Now, a married Republican donor who earned $600,000 a month is fined $50 for rubbing the butt African immigrant made while staying in a D.C. hotel during Trump's inauguration. Now, this Republican donor and Trump supporter, John Joseph Boswell, has been convicted for sexual battery in Washington, D.C. for that incident during the inauguration, and they charged him. He was fined $50, found guilty. All right. I know. Hey, again, white privilege and supremacy is in order. He earned $600,000 a month, and he's fined $50. And not only did he do that to that maid left after he felt her butt and made a comment about it, and then another maid came in because she would not go in the room, and he did the same thing to her. He did it to two different maids, two different black women, and he only got charged He got fined $50 for that. The justice system. All right. I don't know. I have nothing to say either. Now, an engineer admits to trying to sell satellite secrets to the Russians because he needed to pay for his wife's medical treatment. Now, federal authorities say that a California man who worked as an engineer for a defense contractor has pled guilty to attempting to sell sensitive information used in satellites to sell them to Russia. There we go.
Oh, my God.
The South Carolina woman was arrested after two children, she said that she was babysitting, went off on a joyride, and crashed the car into a tree. So Mary Frances Harmon was arrested after a 9-year-old boy and a 6-year-old sister crashed a car. Harmon insisted that she was in the shower when she noticed the children were gone and was unable to find her car keys. So that's when she called the police. Police searched for the car after the crash and found hydrocodone pills. But Harmon claimed that the 9-year-old and 6-year-old sister had placed the drugs into the car. The 9-year-old, 6-year-old stole the car and put drugs in there. So when they found the car, she's like, that ain't mine. What them kids did? She's in jail. They're holding her on
$60,000. I bet they are. Oh, my God.
I haven't been to South Carolina, in that part of South Carolina. I guess it's Clover is where she's from. But, you know, them kids is bad. I just want to say that. They got the 9-year-old, 6-year-old stealing cars and selling. They had to make a run, apparently. All right. Hip hop icon Snoop Dogg said that he's moving to Canada. Now, Snoop, who took the Instagram to announce that he'll be moving to Toronto. He reached out to Toronto native Drake to help him find a home. So Snoop apparently has a line of exclusive marijuana strains in Canada, in this dispensary in Smith Falls, Ontario. Among the strains, I won't tell you the strains because I don't know the difference between Sunset, Ocean View, and Palm Tree. I don't know what the heck that means. So he said, like hip-hop cannabis, I guess is what he calls it, it's much like a lifestyle as a culture is what Snoop said. But the media, you know, there was a media release by this company issued by a company called Tweed, a Canadian cannabis company in Canada. They're selling Snoop's projects, which is Leafs by Snoop. And he actually has business in Canada, and he's going to buy a house in Toronto. And this was his threat during the Trump campaign when he said that if Trump wins, that he would go to Canada. I think he's buying a house in Canada. That's what this news story is saying. All right, Snoop. I didn't mean to do the whole marijuana story while I was talking about that, but that's what the story was.
But you know, it's not that easy to just, you know, well, I guess he's Snoop Dogg, so what do I know? But to just up and relocate to Canada, I mean, it takes some work.
Well, yeah, but you can move there. Being a citizen is a whole nother story. So you can get a temporary visa, especially if you're doing business. So even if you had a job in Canada, like, so they're hiring, you get an interview, you go, your visa application would say that it's work-related, and we have a fairly relaxed relationship with, you know, being in Canada. People in Canada can work here, and we can go there and work. So even if you're working, you can go to Canada. Being a citizen is a whole nother story. But, yeah, you can move there. And he has business interests in Canada. That's not his only business in Canada. But when they first approved the medical marijuana, and that's before the recreational marijuana was approved, that Canada also, you know, he also had some business interests way back then. So he's able to come and go. Hey, it works for Snoop.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. Now, a Florida teen said that a private school principal labeled her natural hair, her natural afro, as a distraction and told her that it needed to be fixed and put into a style or she risked being expelled. So Janice Johnson, who was 17, was told by the assistant principal of her private Tallahassee High School that she would need to change her hair or switch schools. So the high school junior was surprised by the claims as she had been wearing her natural hair for several years, but arbitrarily came and changed it. And also in Massachusetts this happened, but the Massachusetts school backed off of this unlawful ban of braided extension for the rest of the year because the state attorney general said that the ban singles out students of color. So they didn't back off until the attorney general kicked in. But she was suspended and, you know, threatened that she couldn't go to her prom and some other things. I don't know why these stories are so frequent now, but what is so threatening about seeing black folks in their natural hair? That's threatening Europeans. I don't get it. But again, this is what supremacy is. I know people don't like to hear that word, but this is truly what white supremacy is. When you feel like everyone has to, I think there was another story I didn't add it onto the show, but there was a different story where the two girls were told to take their hair out of braids and either put a relaxer in it or do something to make it more presentable. So once if you can assimilate that, yes. This was another story this week. Different set of girls. so that they need to relax your hair or make it more presentable. And if you come with your hair in an afro, that they would be sent home. Can you make somebody relax their hair? I thought you had to pay for that. I don't think it's a...
Where was the second one?
Well, the second one was in Florida. The one with their braids was in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Now, also in Florida, a man who claimed that hit. Oh, gosh, I don't know if I want to do this story. Okay. I can't play black or white on this one because this is clearly a European story. But a man who claimed that he choked. His girlfriend choked because she was having sex with him, was found not guilty of her murder. Now, Richard Henry Patterson, who's 65, in Margate, Florida, was acquitted on second-degree murder in October, October 2015 from an asphyxiation death of his girlfriend. And he's saying, oh, she died because she was having sex with me. He didn't choke her.
She died?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what his client, but they let him off again. 65-year-old guy. I'm not going to go anywhere in that story because it's just going to get uglier from here. Now, a middle school teacher, 27, is charged with having sex with a high school senior a month after divorcing her husband, Taylor Brooke Boyles, a newly divorced math teacher and social studies teacher from Alabama, has been charged with a felony engaging in a sex act with an 18-year-old high school senior. Now, also a California man who's 20, who drugged and raped his teenage sister, gets a lenient sentence of less than a year in prison. The judge insisted the stigma is enough, so Nolan Bruder pled guilty earlier this month to admitting that he gave his younger sister a high-potent marijuana to smoke until she reached the point where she can no longer recognize him as her brother, after she resisted his repeated sexual advances. So Bruder was sentenced by Judge William Follett to serve only 3 years in prison with all but 240 days suspended in favor of granting probation for the rape of an intoxicated person. Not just his sister, a rape of an intoxicated person. So Follett said that the stigma of this conviction, along with the mandatory sexual offender registration requirements, would sufficiently deter him, the defendant. So the judge noted in court that the victim took her own clothes off and was not unconscious. That is how sick we are as a nation. But this happened in California. Sorry for all the sick story today. Only have a few more left. I know we're running towards the end of the hour, so just thought I'd throw in a couple of stories while I'm at it. Now, a man at a wedding. Matter of fact, I'll save that one last. You know, the infamous Moonlight Bunny Ranch brothel in Vegas had a man wearing body armor plow into it with a stolen big rig. So the owner, this happened 4 a.m. Thursday, which was this morning, and it ran through the house. The owner is saying that it's an act of terrorism because it's the friendliest place on earth. But the police did arrest the guy, charged him with two felony counts of assault with a deadly weapon, felony count of destroying property, and felony count of possessing of property valued of $3,500 or more. And his bail is currently set at $95,000. Now, I don't know why this is an interesting story that he ran into the bunny ranch. So the guy who owns the bunny ranch said that this is an act of terror because I don't know what brothels are just generally. I thought they were something else, but apparently that was a security, a national interest issue of running to a brothel. It was, I guess, to get it in the news. I guess that's why you said it was terror. because he was scared.
I wish I knew where you found these things.
Oh, hey, they're just in the news. I'm finding them all over the place. No, okay.
Oh, my. An act of terror.
I know.
Okay.
It's an act of terror. Now, a man that is, okay. I didn't know this was a thing, but apparently in Vietnam, you know, doing karaoke is big at weddings. You know, I've never been in Vietnam, but that seems like that would be pretty cool to do karaoke at weddings. But a man at a wedding in the southern Vietnam murdered a fellow guest and seriously injured another after he was booed off stage doing a karaoke performance. Apparently, they take karaoke really serious.
Yes, so, they do. I've seen that even here.
Really? Man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very serious.
Man, the guest mocked the singing of this guy and then stole the microphone, and it sparked the argument between the two guests. But there another person jumped in to try to stop it. He was stabbed several times, and he died in the hospital. But apparently, if you're running across, you know, people doing karaoke, just kind of be easy on them. Because some people actually take their karaoke pretty doggone serious. That's, you say it again?
I said too serious, and it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. It's supposed to be fun.
It is fun until you start booing people and heckling folks, and then they're getting mad.
Exactly.
So technically, if it's supposed to be fun, is it the guy who got stabbed's fault or the guy who stabbed them's fault? I'm saying I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying it's supposed to be fun. Now if the bride or groom did it, that might be a whole nother story. But I think it was just a guess. Stop booing people at karaoke. It is open mic night on Thursdays. Carry on. And tip your waitress. That's all it was, man. You want to make sure you tip your waitress. All right, on that note. All right, we will wrap up news. Hey, is there something that I didn't cover, Kathleen? I forgot to ask.
Yeah, let's see. There was a couple of things that I was thinking of. One of the things that has been troubling me is why does Trevor Noah have to go off the air so often during the year? Well, I mean, he's off again this week for Memorial Day. He was just off a whole week, not that long ago. He doesn't come on Friday nights. I don't get it. None of the other shows are like that. They go on.
I don't know
what I mean? They go on and they go on and they're on five nights a week, and, like, what's the deal? Sean said that the other guy, I forgot his name, wasn't on Friday nights either.
Yeah, Jon Stewart, he wasn't on.
Jon Stewart,
on
thank
Fridays.
You.
Yeah, but he gets vacation. He probably just negotiated him a really good contract. The one that concerns me is Lawrence O'Donnell is not on TV. Joy Reid sat in for him today, but, you know, like we reported earlier, not sure if MSNBC is going to renew his contract, and that's going to be really sad that he doesn't. But hopefully CBS start a cable news network and bring Keith Olbermann back and put Lawrence O'Donnell on there with him. You know, and bring back Ed Gordon. I like Ed Gordon. That was just for me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Oh, did you talk about Bill Cosby's jury?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. You can talk about that. What happened?
Okay, so they say they've picked the jury. The jury is engaged, and the trial is going to start, I believe, June 5th. And the jury is, I believe, it's entirely white. Or they said they have one black person on the jury, even though they say it's supposed to be a jury of his peers. So now the question is, is someone trying to suggest that Bill Cosby doesn't have any black peers? Or is that the
question?
Okay. You know, the jury of his peers, like, well, how are these his peers? And
I think I think the whole jury is white. Maybe it's an alternative that's black, but an alternate. But I think the whole jury is white.
The whole jury is white, right? And then so we say, well, his lawyer, I believe, I didn't see the black woman who was with him earlier on when, you know, they said he had a black lawyer. I haven't seen her this time. Whenever I see people escorting him, it's a bunch of men. So I'm
I don't think she's with him anymore.
Okay.
I think during the preliminary stuff, she was there. Go ahead.
She was there. So how did his lawyers allow them to engage an all-white jury? That just seems so 1940s. I don't understand.
Yeah.
And is it because of where he lives and the jury pool, or what? Then why didn't they have it moved? You know, this is a problem. And I'm not, and it doesn't have anything to do with me saying he's innocent or guilty. It's just the process.
She worked at Temple. She worked at Temple, so I'm sure that they pulled from the pool that was in that area. So apparently you can get a lot of black folks there. I don't see what the problem was.
At Temple? In Philly?
Yes. Yeah, in Philly.
Philly's almost
all
black.
Can't find any black people in Philly? Yeah.
Come on. I'm confused. I was hoping that, you know, somebody could shed some light on this for me. I'm confused.
Or it could just... it could be a case of his attorney feeling like he wanted to talk to his peers. Like it wasn't Bill's peers that he was concerned about. The attorney wanted his people in there. I think it's a setup from that point. I'm like, if your attorney and everybody said, if the judge is, the only thing I can go for is if the judge is black. But if the judge is not black, I think that this whole thing is rigged. I think it's rigged anyway, but.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know how many stories I did tonight. Guy rapes his sister and gets pretty much probation. And some guy sexually assaults his two maids and he gets a $50 fine. That's where we are. Bill Cosby is going to get life like OJ. And OJ is up for, looks like going to be up for parole in a little bit. And people are having the Goldmans on TV talking about, I wish that he stayed. He's not convicted of killing somebody. He's convicted of something totally different. So why would ABC News and those guys putting the Goldmans on?
Oh, my. I don't understand that.
Again, this is supremacy, right? So it's all about them. Anytime something happens with OJ, they have to go find them. And they're giving everybody an impression that he's in jail because something to do with Nicole and Ron Goldman. Had nothing to do with them. But every time OJ names come up, they're like, we wish that he stays in there longer. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's
always... What'd you say?
It's bad. Judge Stephen O'Neill is the judge for Bill Cosby, and no, he's not. He's far from black.
Oh no. Okay, let the bad news continue. I might as well do a bad story on that one. All right.
Judge O'Neill.
Although their case is weak against them, it's still like they stack the deck. So they play it out in public opinion, just like the OJ case. That's why it's always a good comparison, that OJ was not convicted of killing those two, but they're treating him while he's in jail like he killed someone, and they want him to stay in jail for life because they don't like him because they think that he killed someone. So hopefully that doesn't happen in the Cosby case, which it probably will. They know that that woman extorted money from Cosby, her and her mother, and now the prosecutor said, oh, no, we're going to prosecute anyway, although they knew that they were just extorting him. But they think they can convict him, although they know that she was extorting him. So we don't know if she made it up or not. So we're going to see how that plays with a jury now, that they're going to bring that into evidence. She extorted him. The former prosecutor was notified by Cosby's attorney that she had some tapes that she was extorting them. And the prosecutor who was trying to prosecute Cosby went to that woman's house, went to Canada, and got the tapes and stuff that they actually said that they didn't have on extorting Cosby for money, and then they settled out of court. And they still took him to court. So they got to add all of that stuff back into evidence. She was extorting him. So how do you convict somebody on something when you know that they was extorting him?
Okay.
So maybe they feel confident that they may be able to kind of work the jury or somehow, because I can't imagine having jury instructions to ignore the fact that they taped him trying to get him to admit something that he said that he didn't do, and then they were going to extort him based upon him having that conversation with her. They didn't have anything on tape like that said that he was guilty of it. They had them
right.
talking about they were going to sue him and take him to court for drugging her. And he said, I didn't drug you. On the tapes. And she said, unless you give me the money, I'm gonna take you to court.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. So all of that's in there. So we'll see how this case play out. But just like in the OJ case, all those other women are going to be in there rooting for this one case to win, because this is the only one that they can actually take them to court for. The other ones were thrown out. So this one is the one that they're going to try to charge him criminally with, which is the weakest case probably of them all.
Well, the judge is a former prosecutor, has been presiding over the criminal law court for over 10 years, and he has given a couple people death. So,
oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be fair at all.
I'm just sharing.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for messing up my night. Don't share that. See, I don't do bad. See, that's why I never do Cosby on this show. Because either way, it's not good news for us.
Mess up your night, then you're going to be good.
Hey, let me tell you something. I've still been watching Cosby reruns, and those are some good shows. So, hey, shout out to Bounce TV for playing Cosby. And I think BET is now starting to play him, or who's that? TV One? Somebody's starting to play him.
Yeah.
So, hey,
yeah.
Got to bring him back.
I'll pick you up.
All right.
I'm with you on that.
Hey. You know, classic shows. All right, on that note, I guess Kathleen brought me down. I guess she didn't like the horrible news stories I was doing, so she just brought me one. Thank you, Kathleen.
You're welcome.
All right. on that note, tune in again next week for EsprNet News. Hey, if you missed the show or you're checking us out in the archives, we're back Thursday around 11 p.m. Eastern Standard. Check us out, 909-265-9189. All right. Check you out again next week, Kathleen.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take care. I missed that. What were you saying?
I said I'm going to send you something that's going to raise your spirits, the black woman hand clap. I'm going to send that to you.
Oh, no. All right, I don't trust you now. I'm going to have to start blocking you. I don't know what you're going to say.
Black woman sign language. Sorry, black woman sign language.
Black woman what?
Black woman sign language. It's with Robin Beattie, who is going to be getting
She's a really good comedian.
Late night show. Yeah. So that'll raise your spirits. That'll be good.
No, my spirits are fine. I'm no worries. All is well.
All is well. Thank you.
All is well. Hey, anytime. You too. Have a good night. See you next week, guys. You're listening to EsprNet News. We'll check you out later.